This episode is brought to you by our High Performance Father Coaching Program, where we help men juggle business, marriage, and fatherhood to create the greatest balance and impact life has to offer. This is done with our philosophy that is at the core of achieving these phenomenal results in family, self, and service. And that is investing in yourself first so you can be a true 100% for yourself, but just as importantly, for those around you that you love and care about. If you're a father struggling with choosing between your work and your family, lacking balance and connection in your relationship, what your children need, your own needs, whilst building prosperity in your business, head over to highperformancefather.com, fill out the form, and I'll have my coaches contact you to see how we can help you. And if you're a good fit, what it looks like to join the winner's circle on the inside. But for now, take the time to yourself, for yourself, and enjoy this episode. Rewiring your outlook. It's time to do some rewiring, my friend. Welcome to a special episode where I want to start off with a very subtle, gentle, non-explosive, fuck yeah, the dads. What a time to be alive. What an opportunity. Life is an opportunity. Life is truly a gift. I'm never going to be here just to try and motivate you, but every time, and not that I think about semen on 24/7, it's not that sperm's on my mind. Trust me. Fucking hell. Every time I think about the stats, 1 in 400 trillion sperm, that is insane. That is insane. So don't forget, you're the winner, man. You are the winner, baby. You've already stood on the podium. Don't ever forget that. The decade of dads, 3 years in. 3 years in. We're into year three. We designed the shirts in 2019. They're starting to wear, but I'll never throw them out. Phenomenal shirts. The decade of dads is well and truly underway. And I really want to commend you. I want to take this moment before we dive into the nuts and bolts, the meat and potato of this episode, where we want to really look at your outlook and rewire it to some degree. To some degree, I get the whole fight or flight, protection mode, survival, all that sort of shit. You know, you can't keep looking for the worst in things, because what you're wiring is the energy that you keep draining and the approach that you keep moving towards the horrible outlook, the horrible outcome, which, guess what, ironically enough, becomes your truth. Well, of course that's what you fucking wanted. The amount of times I've had men come to me and go, you know what, I've driven my woman to the arms of another man, but when I go upstream, I was looking through a phone, I was always asking her questions. I didn't showcase any trust, which meant there was a lack of value and respect together, which meant that what I started to do is influence her that she should be looking. I know this sounds fucking crazy, but it's true. She should be looking for another man. So she does. Like, and that's just one example. It happens all the time. But I do want to take this moment just to acknowledge and appreciate you for continually turning up and investing in yourself with time and energy. There are many different types of investment, time, energy, money, your perspective. So using time, energy, and money, your skill set development. So where you're focusing, what you've done with your time and energy, and what you're doing from this day forward when you listen to this podcast with your time and energy. So the ultimate formula for winning, and that's what, and I've said this several times in other podcasts, that's all money is. It's a representation of value. It is a representation of value that more often than not we've spent time and energy acquiring or accumulating. So it's all swings and roundabouts, the great circle of life. And it comes down to that winning formula. Energy, how much do you have? Skill sets, okay, what are you doing with that energy over time? What is the time frame, time domain, time phase, deadline, the period in which you want to execute on something, have something achieved, accomplished? That equals connection. So the type of connection you have inside of your life is really going to be dictated upon or determined by how big your gas tank is, what you're doing with that, and the period of time in which you are implementing or using your energy and skill acquisition or development. Make no mistakes. It's not that you and I can't do everything that we want to do in this world. It's just we'll run out of time. So essentially, as organic beings, as organisms that will die, we will run out of time. We can't do everything. So don't go looking, and please understand this, like, you're not going to get to do everything you want to do in this life. You're not. But is everything that you believe or think you want to do, is it actually what you want to do? Like, is it really something that you want to do? I want to go to every country in the world, or I want to start this business, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. I want to have 10 kids. I have no more kids. I've already got two. I've already got four. All the things that you want to do, all the little trinkets and treats and distractions and shiny object, like, do you really want to do all of that? Or do you want to go an inch wide and a mile deep and have some depth inside of your life by focusing on a couple of the core elements that can make a beautiful and fruitful life? Doesn't mean you have to stay in one suburb for your entire life. I'm not talking about restrictions. I'm talking about selection and allocation of the most valuable thing that you and I will ever, ever have. That even with such awareness, I still don't even believe I get it, and none of us will get it until we are on our deathbed. Time and energy. And we don't know when that deathbed's coming. We don't know when they're rolling out going, all right, now's your time now. I couldn't believe it when I heard, it was about a couple of weeks ago, my wife was telling me there was a guy just fishing on some rocks, and I mean, it's pretty horrendous, really. Fishing on some rocks, and it was a bit stormy, and he just, nothing was happening. And then he slipped and fell in, and literally within seconds, a shark come up, bang, bit him in half and took him away. 4 meter great white, like, that's just. Oh man, when my wife told me, because growing up watching Jaws and that sort of shit, I did have a bit of a, and I probably still do, I guess. A lot of us probably do have a fear of sharks, and I live near the beach. Not that I go out as deep as the surfers, but yeah, it's always sort of there in the back of the mind. And when I heard that story, I was like, wow, that was just so surreal. Like, literally instantly, as soon as he fell in, it must have been like the shark was waiting for the fish he was going to bring up, or the bait and what he was doing. And obviously, he was fishing. There were a few other people around. As soon as he fell in, I don't know, the vibrations, the telekinesis, the electric, or the signals that wire. I don't know a huge amount about sharks, but I know it's not just their eyes. It's obviously vibrations in the water, blood, all that sort of stuff. But literally fell in, bang, snapped in half, gone. Like, my gut churns even now thinking about it. I was like, shit, man. Like, that's crazy. Imagine that. I'm going out for a fish, bang, eaten. That's fucking crazy. Sharks and crocodiles, that does it for me. They're man, brutal. Point is, when your time's up, your time's up, hey. Like, there has been some freakish things where people have passed away, and it's just like, shit, man. Like, is it something that's predetermined? I mean, I do that sometimes for a bout of, courage, maybe confidence. I don't know, but there's times where I'm like, you know what? This moment's already written in history. All I need to do is go and execute, deliver, enjoy. I used to do that with speeches and talks and whatnot. I don't anymore. Maybe it was for me overcoming some nerves back in the day. I'm not sure. Who knows? But when you look at shit like that, you're like, wow, is our life predetermined? Are we living in a holographic state? I've heard lots of different theories, and I'm definitely not going to support any of them because I'm not big on different opinions. But just the visualization of life itself, the timeline, we think it's such a linear thing. And it's like, here's a day. It's March the 9th. It's March the 10th. It's April the 1st. Like, here's a day. Here's the linear graph of life that goes this way, and then it drops, and we're on. It's so bizarre. Like, it really is. So I really want to acknowledge and appreciate you for being here, for getting some sort of value out of our podcasts. Otherwise, I guess you wouldn't be listening anymore. And what I really want to try, I want to bring you into the world of Al a little bit. I really do. And I say this with respect. I'm not the only one. This isn't my gift. You can have this. Anyone can have this. Anyone can apply this. But I really want to bring you into the world of Al, what goes on in Al's head, especially in Al's mind and his heart when shit hits the fan, when things are going wrong, and what that looks like. And look, I hate waste. So when there's a waste of time, I still get angry. I get triggered. There's times when I've done recordings, not so much with the podcast. I mean, I'm looking right now and it says that it's recording, but fuck, the computer could turn off at any minute. We could have something like, it's been shitload of rain lately. Things like that have happened before where I've pumped like an hour into some crazy coaching stuff and then it's just disappeared and I've been like, you motherfucker. And I've slammed my hands on the table and in my own company, of course, and the rage comes up. So I'm not perfect. But I tell you what, those little outbreaks, those little outbursts, those little moments, they are so few and far between. I almost forget when it happened last. And that's a great thing. That means I have control. not emotional control where I just react and I go for the kill right away. Okay, I'm not controlling all these things. I think I should. I have expectations. I have assumptions. This should be outcome. It's not. Okay, I'm going to default. Bang, kill the goose for the golden egg. I'm going to show rage, anger, all these different things inside that I can tap into. So that's something to be cautious of, man. When you don't have control of yourself and of different things in life, you think the pathway to control is immediately your emotions. Why? Because it's like it's on tap. Like you just get it on tap. Just turn the tap, bang, and it floods and it pours. Turn the tap on, turn the tap off. Can you turn it off though? That's the problem. Through seeking to get immediate control of your life through your emotional outbursts and those feelings inside, you lose even more control of the situation. So I want to bring you into the world of owl a little bit. What happens when I lose control, when I don't have control, when there's something where there's an expectation of an outcome that creeps in? Because that creeps in for me too. I'm not some fucking monk sitting on top of a mountain going, I expect nothing from you and nothing will ever happen. I've got a team that's expectations of standards. So we deliver and we fucking dominate our service for men all over the country. There's absolutely agreements and standards and expectations. But what we need to understand is there must be a rewiring, a reallocating of disappointments, assumptions, and expectations that lead down a slippery slope of an unideal future outcome. All right, well, this has happened. Where are we now? What can we do? So let's tap on into this in rewiring your outlook on things. And please understand, I'm not a positivity fairy. And I've got nothing against positive natures and being, I'm very positive, but I'm not someone who, let's look at some more visuals, you know, sings kumbaya, dances around a campfire, paints lots of rainbows and smiles, and I love all that stuff. That's phenomenal. But that's just one aspect of life. You know, is happiness the key? Is happiness the answer? Maybe. I don't know. Like, it depends on what you define as happiness. Is balance the answer? Absolutely. But what's balance look like for you? It's why so many people can't strike balance in their life. They think it's what? Well, let's break this down. What do you think balance is? You know, do you think it's 6 hours of sleep, 6 hours with your family, 6 hours at work, and 6 hours for yourself? That doesn't make any sense. And then that still isn't balanced. Why? Because when you're in the 24th hour, let's say you've spent 6 hours for yourself, 6 hours for family, 6 hours of sleep, and you spend 5 hours with work. What happens if shit hits the fan and you need to go over and give your family something because there's trauma or chaos or something's happened? So you're only 5.5 hours with work and 6.5 hours with family. You know what I mean? Like you can't, unless you fucking tick the box and there you go, there's 24 hours, it's fucking impossible to look at it that way. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. So we need to cut that shit away and go, you know what? Balance is the return on investment because of my allocation of time, energy, and the skills that I've developed in my life. So when I'm getting personal and deep and speaking love languages and organizing surprises and bringing mystery and curiosity and love and affection and playfulness and teasing or jokes or humor, and I'm bringing all this shit to the table, making it personal and dialing that in with my wife, I only need to spend 90 to 120 minutes a week one-to-one with my wife with 2 to 3 honey and handsome times, which percentage-wise, 120 minutes out of 7,000 minutes awake is fuck all. But the return on that investment is massive. That's what balance is. Balance is not hedging your bets. It's leveraging your ability to impact and create connection in and with life. That's why that formula is tried, tested, and true. Energy plus skills over time equals connection. Where are you missing the mark? Where do you have none of that? No gauge on time. You're not mastering and controlling it. No ability when it comes to energy because you're not giving back to yourself. Eating shit food, you're not moving your body, you're not breathing, not sleeping well. Like, this is critical, man. And then what are you doing with what limited energy you have? Well, you're fucking draining it even more, drinking alcohol, watching television, going to a job that you hate, or a business that isn't thriving because you haven't got your shit together. It starts at the top. You are the head. I mean, it's a, you know, it's not true that a fish rots from the head, but I get the symbolism behind it. So when we're looking at rewiring your outlook, this is a great opportunity to look inside of your life and go, all right, well, what's the approach that I can take that's not only going to nurture, harness, develop, create, bring out that animal inside when needed, bring to the surface with a level of remembrance, bring, because you know most of the answers, let's bring it back to the surface, primed, front and center, at the forefront. What can I do to bring what's necessary to the table, to the party, with whatever situation and circumstance I face, so that we can be, more often than not, or with a higher percentage, successful, victorious, moving forward. The Viking, the panda, the chief. You're the chief. You sit in the middle, man. You pull from the panda when you need to. Playful, submissive, a goofball, you know, fooling around with the kids, you know, letting the hair down. My kids know how powerful I am. You know, I'm incredibly fucking strong. I can throw them like 6 meters in the air. Like, they know how strong I am. Maybe not 6 meters. That's pretty high. I'll tell you what, I'd go pretty close if I went all in on that, but I don't think I'll ever go that far. But they know how strong I am, yet here I am laying down sometimes and they're just hooking into me. I don't mean they're they're just fucking jabbing me. They're driving knees. You know, they've got me in headlocks and Roman's got a little blade out, little switchblade, and he's just fucking shanking me in the kidney. No, I don't mean that. It's they're just hooking in. All right, kids, time to plow into Dad, do some conditioning. Like Maydad Mays, one of our members, he owns a Bondi boxing gym. It's like that, just a conditioning piece. He comes around, he sets the kids up, and they just fucking punch the shit out of me for an hour. Now, what I mean is I can lay down and be playful and give them the power. That's what we talk about with special time. Even Dad Ventures to a degree, where you're planning a nice event with the children. But special time, one-to-one time, you know, it's giving them the power, filling their buckets of power and attention. So when I do that, yes, we can joke around. Yes, the walls come down. But also, when there's something at hand, like dinner time, bath time, certain duties or responsibilities that we need to bring to the table, I'm not here. And it's a very powerful book, The Four Agreements. They talk about domestication. But it's not that domestication is bad. It's that it's been done in a way that you are wired where you don't even know why you're pushing shit onto others. That's a tough one. Like, it really is tough, whether it's eating all the food on your plate or cleaning up or bath time or... because what that becomes is expectations and rousing and all that sort of stuff. So I've got no problems with creating roles and responsibilities, creating healthy boundaries. That's important for life. I'm all for the free spirit stuff, but fuck, man, you got to be really cautious, like with your children, that yes, you're not squashing them, but then on the flip side, you're not painting this picture of the world. If they're going to tie into societal constructs, not that I agree with everything that society upholds, but essentially tying into working with people, other people, places and things, different walks of life, negotiating, compromising, all that sort of stuff there, you got to be cautious that it's not just free run either. So dialing it in to be transparent with my children, but then also flick the switch and be, hang on, game on, dad's here. I'm not their mate just to play around and fool with them, but I'm very transparent and open with them. And what comes from that level of, this is rewiring your outlook. What comes from that perspective around who you are to others really comes from a place of who you are to yourself, which can solidify you when you take the hat off or when you put the hat on, and the reasoning behind being vulnerable, being transparent, but also the strength inside of that. Now, ironically enough, that example I shared just then and your output and being the Viking and the panda and also the chief sitting in the middle so you can draw from both is really a base or a fundamental positioning of how you express yourself. What I mean by that, like that's a foundation. That's how you go, yes, I'm going to inject or express or promote this energy here, this energy here, this energy there. What we're doing in today's session, because you know me, I love dialing in a 10 to 20 minute intro. What we're doing in this session is we're really, but it's all relevant. If it isn't, please, anytime you have questions, ask me, admin@realdadmovement.com.au. We zoom up. We're going to go just a little bit above the clouds, or maybe not the clouds because you can't see, but we're going to go a little bit higher into the atmosphere, a little bit higher. So we are one level above what the chaos of life can be, one level above, zoomed out, third person, a bit of an eagle eye to look over and go, okay, well, that's the chief. That's you know, he's showing a bit of Viking here. He's a bit of a panda there. All right, great, awesome. But where does that all come from? The higher source, the higher source of you, your consciousness, you know, regardless and with respect, regardless of religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, soul, spirit, call it whatever you like, you are an entity that can zoom out and be aware of your physical body. Don't fucking lie to me and say that's just your brain. How do you even know where your brain is? Because your eyes tell you. Well, who's telling your eyes that your brain is there? When you look in the mirror and you see your head. When you zoom out, you are going into a higher source of operating. You are. Like, you, that zooming out third point, that's what I mean by higher source. You have a better set of eyes which can be less biased. It can be without ego or pride. It can be from a position of truth to go, I'm simply observing. Then I can dive back in and execute, adjust, create, respond. You shouldn't react accordingly. You will react internally. That will happen. You will react with triggers internally. That will happen. Doesn't mean you need to make it truth outside in the real world. I have triggers. We all do. Doesn't mean it needs to be your truth and their truth. This also doesn't mean it's a facade and you just put up walls or you suppress emotions or you just become fake either. It's about addressing those triggers, but also addressing the circumstance that's created that internal trigger for you to get not just control of the narrative or the other person at all, control of yourself to go, well, what do I choose in this situation? What do I choose to invest? Is this an environment worth investing in? Should I remove myself from this environment? Should I step up and lead this environment a bit better? Shit's hit the fan in the household or with my wife. She's very triggered, but it's got nothing to do with me. She's out all day crazy with the kids and I'm just copping the brunt of it. That doesn't mean it's got anything to do with Elle. How do I help her settle and calm herself down? Although I would be cautious of the words calm and crazy around women, that's for sure. I learned that the hard way from my mum, a 6 foot ex state netballer. I don't know who we're afraid of. I don't know who we were afraid of more, my mum or my dad. I remember once my bedroom was opposite Tim, my brother's, and he locked the door on mum. Fuck, man, she, and I don't say this because she's a, because she was a large lady in the wrong way. She just had that power, man. She fucking broke the door off the hinges. It was insane. It was very powerful. It was almost inspiring when I look back, scary at the time. I tried to draw zero attention to myself. I knew exactly what was going on. But yeah, it was very powerful at the time when my brother locked mum out of his room. It's like, no, I'm coming in and this is how. Hinges completely gone. Ah, oh, man. What a time to be alive back then, I tell you. What a time now. Rewiring your outlook. This rewiring is very powerful and very possible for you. Stress is prevalent in life lots of the time. A lot of times in life, there is stress. There are challenges. There are obstacles. There are roadblocks. Welcome to life. I'm not saying you should always be stressed, but mate, life is full of roadblocks. Like, roadblocks everywhere. Like someone who comes to me and goes, I want to achieve this, this, and this, or if I'm sharing an idea with someone or we're workshopping a pathway or what they can do, whether it's a business, whether it's anything else, and they hit me with a roadblock, I'm like, Yeah, thanks for the share and let's keep going. On a board about this. Yeah, I get that. What's the next one? I was like, what? Why the fuck are you sharing that with me? What, you think roadblocks don't exist? Of course they do. I was going through this with my wife. She's writing a children's book. It's an awesome book. She's written it. And working through publishers. And like everything, there's roadblocks. We could do this, this, and that. Oh, but what about this? And what about this? And what about this? I'm like, yeah, what about it? What's the point of you bringing up that roadblock? Are you not aware that there's roadblocks you're going to have to overcome? Don't just make it a statement. Like when people say, what about this? They're not, a lot of the times they're not asking a question. And Krim was the same. It's not a good or a bad thing. It's just part of our conditioning life. It's like, oh, here's something that'll stop me. Only if you let it. I'll tell you what right now, man, if I had to let my roadblocks rule the day, there's no fucking way you'll be listening to this episode. There's no way we would be nearly 200 episodes into this podcast. There would be no High Performance Father. No way. No way at all, man. And you know that too. How many times have you faced roadblocks and you've overcome them? Of course you have. That's why you're still here. Otherwise you'd be torn to pieces. That doesn't mean the trajectory that you're on and the path you're currently on is one you should maintain either. I mean, maybe that's why you'll reach out. Maybe that's why you apply for our High Performance Father program. I'm not sure. A lot of our members have come through the podcast and I'm humbled by it because essentially you connect to our message. You connect to the boxes being ticked, the buttons being pushed where you're like, fuck man, Al's speaking my life. That's right, man. It's all of our lives. So let's rise up together and let's fucking win instead of falling apart like 90% plus of the population, father or not. Literally, a house of cards. Literally. You think everything's hunky-dory with Facebook, social media, and sort of shit? No way, man. Families are fucking destroyed and destroying themselves. What changed? Well, not that much. It's just the technology makes it more prevalent in the modern world and a lot more chaos and a lot more moving parts. So you think people didn't want to get divorced when they were younger? Well, maybe it was socially unaccepted 100 years ago. This shit is always here, but with a speed. with a speed like no other, with a world faster than ever, more chaotic than ever, pulled in many different ways, different directions, all different stresses and pressures, now is the time to triple down on yourself and who you are. So we're working through these roadblocks with Corinne. I'm like, yeah, well, of course you're going to have roadblocks. What do you... Like, Corinne, we've changed what we've done at least 100 times, at least twice a month over the last 4 or 5 years, at least. We've tweaked, adjusted, changed. You guys might not always see that. We're working in the back end to make sure everything's as smooth as possible for our members. But yeah, there's always problems. Problems never leave. They just change. So when we're rewiring your outlook, it's understanding, man, that you must be actively, like right here and now, you must be actively engaged in what it is that you want to change. And what it is that you want to change starts with changing your state. Right here and now, we are here to shift, to elevate your state. Positivity is a state. Motivation is an elevation of state. But how do we maintain that motivation? How do we make sure that we're not relying just on motivation? The elevated state of motivation is our standard. And more often than not, we maintain that standard. Well, purpose, our two pillars of progress, one of our principles in HPF. Yeah, practice doesn't make perfect, and practice doesn't make progress either. Precision and purpose makes progress. What are you doing and how well are you doing it? And then why are you doing it? So precision, how well are you doing what you're doing? Purpose, why are you doing what you're doing? Precision and purpose, precision and purpose, precision and purpose. Get that fucking competency up. That doesn't mean you turn all your weaknesses into strength. I still have some weaknesses that have become competent enough to not hurt me, but my strengths I triple down on. Precision, living life with excellence in all that you do for any given day. Today could be an amazing day. Tomorrow could be an amazing day, but 20% less because of sleep, the kids not sleeping, all different challenges. On any given day, you give your best. And then purpose, why are you doing it? Why are you doing what you do? So when we're looking at elevating and maintaining this state, you must be actively involved, man. It's why you're right here and now listening to this podcast. Because life is 91% autonomous. The active part of your brain is the most powerful in the controller of your life, should you be controlling it. But that's only 9%. Computing power, your conscious mind, actively aware, you being aware, listening to this right now, is 9% of your life. That's 40 megabits a second. They've done tests. I fucking hate saying they. Next time I should have the specific facts up, but this is the truth. 40 megabits per second is your conscious mind, your active mind. Your subconscious is 40,000. 40,000. That's not 4x. Sorry, that's not 10x. That's not even 100x. That's 1,000x. Like 1,000 times. But what is the gateway to your subconscious? What you're actively doing. But if you're not actively aware, then your subconscious is going to take over and rule the day off the back of all the influences that you see. Billboards, the news, the TV, radio, all that sort of shit's just going to keep fucking drilling in, man. Okay, why do you think it's called a TV program? It's programming you. Now, I'm not here jumping on with tinfoil hats or not. Like, there can be great programs, there can be shit programs, but it's called a program for a reason. A television program. Maybe you've got a different outlook. Or maybe you're starting to connect the dots and go, no, actually, you know what? He's right. Why do I have a certain belief about something? Where the fuck did that come from? You know, even this, like this Elf on a Shelf stuff. I just bought into it. Why? Because it's just, it seemed like a traditional Christmas thing. There's an elf with its hat on. And I just bought in. I was like, okay, didn't question it. Why? Because my whole life, every single year at Christmas time, it's been Christmas. So anything to do with Christmas has been easily accepted, right? And I started diving in. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I had a chat to Corinne. I was like, are we really, like, and please understand, this comes from one perspective. I'm not saying this is my absolute, but this is important. You need to exercise your free will. Don't use your free will to forfeit your free will. That's fucking ridiculous. Take the blinkers off and look at different perspectives. I'm like, Corinne, we've got this toy that we are conditioning our children from a young age to believe it has super magical powers, which means when we say yes to that, when the kids say yes to that, they say no to their own power. And we do have magical powers. You do, I do. Like, have a look at what you're doing in life. Have a look at what you create. Have a look at what you created in your children. Don't fucking bullshit yourself and think that you're plain and nothing. You might feel that way and your life might be heading that way because you haven't got your shit together and you're going at the lone wolf and you're struggling. But mate, I mean, I look at a high performance father. I'm not sitting back in my chair going, fuck yeah, I created that. It's we, it's a collective of everyone involved, but it is a creation. So my children are saying yes to this elf they can't touch, has magical powers, does all this weird shit, and then that subconsciously solidifies that they can't do it, they are not as magical as the elf, and they do not possess gifts or powers to express in the world. You might think that's too extreme one end, but sit with me for a minute, mate, and just think about that. Maybe it is. I don't know. You don't know. But also, I'm not just talking about opinions. This is the science of your subconscious, right? Just like Santa, all these fantasies, all this shit, and then one day it's not true. So I was like, okay, well, was mum and dad a fucking liar to me for 8 years of my life about Santa, about the Tooth Fairy, about the Easter Bunny, about the elf on a shelf? It's such a weird, and again, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying one perspective of looking at it is going, well, what are we subconsciously drilling into our children, into ourselves? Yeah, it's something that's just, we need to be very cautious of. Think about that. Like, think about even just simply what's happened in the last couple of years and children not being able to see facial expressions. There's been a lack of connection there. Like, this has been some of the challenging issues that I've had with what's been happening in the last couple of years, because I'm like, fucking hell, mate. Like, you're raising children. They can't even see people's faces. They got no fucking idea what's going on. You know, how are we building connection when our children can't even see, all they're seeing is barely a set of eyes? I get that that might not be the case in the household, but we're social creatures. We go out and about and we can't see shit. They can't see anything. They don't know how to read, like computer processing. That's what our brain does. They don't know how to read the corners of the mouth, curling up, curling down, the nostrils, the fucking flaring of the nostrils, facial hair. Like, there's so much shit that they have missed over the last couple of years. So just be cautious of that. When we're talking about subconscious, and I'm using children as an example, let's bring it back to you and your outlook. Let's rewire this outlook and this perspective by understanding that you need to be actively involved. Let's tap into Al's brain. Let's tap into Al's head. Let's have a look at a few bits and pieces here. It must be active so you can re-record the subconscious. The active is the most powerful because that is the gatekeeper, but the most powerful processing unit consistently through 91% of your life. Isn't that crazy? 91% of your life is autonomous. That's like, but it probably has to be for a reason, right? Because if you have to think about everything, like where I'm putting my hands, my fingers, like driving, your eyes, your ears, like that'd be an overload like you wouldn't believe. We'd be fried. 91% of your life's autonomous. Rewiring your outlook starts with this statement. You don't have to do anything. You get to. You don't have to do anything. You get to. You don't have to set the alarm at 6 o'clock and wake up early and do some breath work and hydrate your body and go for a walk. You fucking get to. So when you're looking at things like, oh, I should have pressed snooze or I'm tired, you fucking get to be tired. You don't have to have an argument with your wife. You get to. But, you know, but the point is, like, look at all the things that you see with distaste, dissatisfaction, disappointment, and start rewiring yourself to go, well, I don't have to listen to my kids screaming and crying and fighting, and I didn't have to have kids at all, but I got to. I don't have to listen to my kids screaming, but I get to. Now, that sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? Well, yeah, well, I don't really want to listen to my kids screaming. No. You get to have the opportunity, because that's what it's about. When I say you get to, you have the opportunity. You get to have the opportunity of your kids screaming or crying or fighting, so then you can fucking level yourself up as a father, as a leader, not as a referee, but as someone who can help them repair and reconcile and see how they can build better communication, connection, and bring homeostasis back to the household. You cannot have day without night. You're not going to go through life without any shitstorms. That includes your children. Have a look at their hormones. Have a look at them figuring out the world, different environments in schooling, in home, mum and dad. The hormonal changes, like I said, there's so much shit going on. Think about when you're a teenager. Like, I remember when I first started flogging off and twisting the ears off to it, I was like, what the fuck's going on here? I didn't even know how I started doing it. I didn't even know why I started doing it. And obviously you're all the same, or maybe some of you never fucking jerked off. I don't know. It's not that I'm saying that's weird. I just I don't know where it came from. It just started happening. It's my hormones. I remember when I got my first pube, I started celebrating. My brother's like, fuck, Tim, look, man, I've started getting pubes. I'm a man now. Fuck, that was so funny. Oh, man. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 3 weeks ago, but yeah, still, it's like a lifetime ago. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I'll tell you what, if I started getting pubes for the first time 3 weeks ago, we'd be in trouble. But it was 3 months ago. But honestly, it's so fucking funny, man. When I look back, I was like, man, what a ride. What a crazy ride going through life as a kid, a teenager, even in your 20s. Like, it's fucking crazy shit, man. Crazy shit. You don't have to have sore muscles after exercise. You get to. You get to reflecting, fuck yeah, I've got some DOMS. I've got delayed onset muscle soreness. Beauty, I'm going to stretch out. That means my muscles are working. They've had some micro tears. They're going to rebuild. And that's how you start rewiring your outlook, man. You don't have to go to work. You get to. Like, you really, oh, but I've got bills to pay. I've got a mortgage. There's always a choice. Somewhere along the line, you've created a concrete statement, a concrete agreement, a covenant inside of yourself. It's really fucking hard, you know. We've got this big house and mortgage is coming, you know, through the roof. I've got to, you know, work 12 hours. No, you don't. You get to. You choose to. You could sell the house. Nah, I can't sell the house. No, there's always a fucking choice. You can sell the house. Shannon Brenton, phenomenal. I've had him on a podcast. I'll definitely get him on again soon. He was going around caravanning Australia. I've got his caravan now. He was caravanning around Australia for a few years. And he had a phenomenal, like, he's a nutrition, a clinical nutritionist and naturopath, and he's a gun. I've never met anyone like him, that's for sure. Had his own facility, and the facility was a gym. There was a cafe, like, he had a fucking beach out on McMaster's Beach, right on the beach. He had a beach house and, like, literally had his own walkway to the beach at McMaster's Beach. He's a good surfer and had all that stuff, and he packed it all in. And people were like, oh, fuck, you got a nice car, you got a nice caravan, aren't you living the dream? He's like, I fucking invested nearly 300 grand into everything now, and I sold everything that I had and left all my comforts behind. Like, there's always a choice. There is always a choice. But somewhere along the line, you draw a line and go, no, 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 that's it. No, it has to be that way. And I've said that to my wife many times. I've said, look, if there was ever, not we're in that we're in that position, but I was like, well, we're having this chat. This is how the example came up. We're not in that position. But if we were, I'd be like, you know what? Like, we live near the beach. We're in a great spot. I said, but if something happened or shit hit the fan and we needed to sell, we'd fucking sell in a heartbeat. We can't. We're near the... I said, they're all stories. Like, what game are you playing? Are you playing the one-month game? Are you playing the one-year game? Even what's been happening in the world, like, this has created a higher demand than ever with high-performance fathers. So I feel blessed that we're in a position where we can serve and help guide fathers out of this shit fight that the entire world has found itself in since 2020, because that's exactly what it is. There's always something new fucking popping up as well, right? It's ridiculous. So we're in a position where I feel blessed to do that. But I said to my wife, with gyms and other things and people who've just had hardships, different industries, it's just, this is the way the world works, though. That there's always something. There was something in the 70s and the 80s. There was the dot-com bubble that fucking burst. There's world wars in the early 1900s, mid-1900s. There's always going to be something where there's industries with opportunity to thrive, industries with opportunity to change, industries that don't, and they die. I said to her, these are all just stories that people keep in their head that they have to stay the same way. Create optimism in your life to find the pathway that's going to serve you. And I said that to Karina. If that means that we need to bunker down or something happened with work, or, like, let's say I still ran gyms or whatever, and we had to bunker down for the next 3 years, 8 years, 10 years. I said, if that means we'd have to do that, but then the next 30 to 40 years of our life is much better and it becomes fucking great and we've weathered that storm, I'll do it. You don't have to, man. You get to. It's an opportunity. But the get to is, you need to ask yourself, what's the opportunity cost if I don't do it? And what's the price to pay when I do? Like, say your children are fighting. There's an opportunity. What's the opportunity cost if you don't? Well, you're not helping them learn lessons. You might be able to zoom out again, get to the higher source of you, that third person view, and go, all right, well, why did this happen? Where are the triggers? What's going on? Let's try and understand. This is why being present and engaging with the children is so important. You go in fucking blind, mate. You are going in blind. When you're trying to just squash everything, you're killing the goose for the golden egg. You're using your power. I'm just going to squash this entire, you go to your room, bang. No, no, no. you're in blind, you're just going for the kill. When you are present and engaging your children, you understand, oh, yes, of course. You know, she had school and then she had exams. Oh, that's right. She broke up with her boyfriend. I'm not talking about my kids, obviously, but this could be an example of a teenage daughter. Break up with a boyfriend a month ago. Maybe that's still playing on her mind. You can paint, not a story, but you can paint a picture, a passage of time, the history, which might have led to this being the catalyst of fighting with her younger brother. When you have such presence and engagement in what's important in your life, your children, your wife, yourself first. This is a skill set. 99% of life is skill acquisition, skill development. When you develop this skill set inside of yourself, it's why we're massive on helping the father. He can then ripple that out into his family, his wife, his children, and you can lead them where you can, will, and should, just like they lead and guide us where they can, will, and should. My children teach me a shitload. Doesn't matter that I have more knowledge than them. What's knowledge? Like what's knowledge? What's learning? What the highest level of acquiring information? What the fuck does that even mean? Like, do you think we're really advancing as a species? Do you think we're really evolving because of technology and speed? Is that what evolution is to you? More disconnected than ever. I go to the athletics every Friday and there's fuck all people walking around barefoot. I'm like, mate, this is a beautiful oval. Get your feet on some grass. Walk around. Get fucking shoes on. Take your shoes off. Like, just reconnect. Stop getting those fucking hammer toes where they're all curled up into a ball. Open up your toes and get some spread on the toes there, your foot fingers, and just walk. Crazy, man. Crazy. So when we're rewiring your outlook, you don't have to, you get to, but what is the opportunity of what you get to do? What is the opportunity cost if you don't? Okay, well, I am going to do it. Well, what is that? What does that look like? What's the price to pay? Is it worth it? Like I said before, you don't have to fight with your wife, you get to. Okay, well, collision can bring connection. There's something that's been on my mind. There's something I've been feeling. I'd like to talk to you about this. And then reallocating those feelings with your wife to find the truth. What about what's been going on in her world? Have you stopped and asked her what's going on? Or does she dump and vent and blurt everything out onto you and you've become a punching bag? You don't get opportunity, so you need to pull it back. Hey, look, I really appreciate you sharing with me, but like I need to share with you my feelings as well. And then let's find some middle ground here on what's going on with our kids or with school or with us not connecting anymore, or not having time together, or with your work, or with my work, or with the stress, or we haven't had a holiday, or this sort of stuff, man. It's all an opportunity. This is what is inside our head. So let's dive into positivity, optimism, pessimism, being cynical. Let's have a look at a few meanings. As we start to wrap this up, I got to tell you, I'm not always looking for the silver lining. It's just part of the problem-solving skill set that I've acquired so quickly that that's what it might look like to others. But I just don't really like stopping. I stop when I choose to, when I control that, when I'm creating space, taking time out for me. Other times, I'm like, okay, beautiful, let's problem solve. I stop when my wife isn't looking for me to solve her problems. She just wants me to listen and support her. Of course I stop then. Don't be ignorant to that and thinking that because you have the answer, that's what she wants to hear. Crazy, isn't it? Very funny how women work. But that's the truth. Ask yourself, what's the point? What's the purpose? What are we trying to achieve? Is it for me to raise and elevate myself on a pedestal or my ego or pride because I got the fucking answer? Or is it to provide her needs and what she wants and needs? But if what her wants and needs are just something of support that creates a chronic state of affairs in moving down towards a shitter quality of life because the problem hasn't been solved, then questions need to be asked. Okay, I appreciate that. I'm more than happy to support you again for the 11th time, but I need to ask you, like, is this something you want to keep working through? Is this person really your friend? Is this really moving you forward? Is this the outcome you want to keep reliving? Because it's been 3 months now. Would you like me to help you solve this? Would you like to find a solution together? I'm telling you, man, statements, especially when they're driven negatively or they have a negative outcome over a period of time. Yeah, there's always negative things that can pop up. But over a period of time, the greatest way to address that is by asking quality questions to drive towards a narrative of finding the solution. You don't have to do anything, man. You get to. That is the opportunity and gift. I don't have to do this podcast, but I get to. And I love doing them. Like, I really do. I really enjoy them. I put so much into these. I put everything into these. Positivity is a state. You can be positive and you can have a state of mind. But what are you doing to reinforce that? What are you doing to make that true? So, of course, I'm positive, but what I am more of is optimistic. I live a life of optimism, And I can't stand when some of the fucking bigwigs talk about delusional optimism. It makes no fucking sense to me. Like, the two words can't go together. They've obviously forgotten what the definition of optimism is. Or maybe it's not the Colin Jem's dictionary or the Wikipedia definition. Maybe they've just created their own. But let's just paint a picture on all the different meanings of all different sites that I've looked up and see what optimism is. And at the core, at the crux of it, it's purely confidence in a future outcome. Like, that's all it is. It is confidence in a perceived or real desired future outcome. That's all it is. So how can you be delusionally optimistic? It doesn't make sense to me, because confidence ties into a cycle, and the cycle that we've created. Otherwise, it's fake. It's not confidence. It's not real. It's bullshit. Courage, it's our four C's for change. Courage, commitment, competence, confidence. I've gone through this before in another podcast, but I'll dive into it quickly again. Courage, having the balls to stand up and go, yes, this is the right thing to do. Do what is right, not what is easy. But funnily enough, over the course of your life, what you're doing will be easier than looking back with regret. But courage, having the balls to stand up and know what the right thing is and start moving in that direction. How do we move in that direction? Commitment. All commitment means is following through and taking action on what you said you would do. It is connecting your internal and external reality, your words that you speak with your actions that follow through. Courage, standing up, high courage, long commitment. That's actually the spine of a high performance father. That's the backbone. That's one of our core principles of HPF. But it doesn't end there. Then what do we do? What actions are we taking? How well are we taking them? Get excellence inside of your life and build a level of competence. Courage, commitment, competence. You get fucking great at what you do. You rinse and repeat. You want to put 1,000 reps in on the bench press, on the arm curls? You put 1,000 reps in when it comes to weathering the storm with your children, connecting with your children, being present, putting your phone in the fucking car, looking your wife in the eyes, answering her with an idea when she asks you what you want for dinner. You build thousands of reps and you get competent at that. That's a skill set. That is skill acquisition in an area where you know it's going to enhance your life. Why? Because of courage and commitment to start with. What does that equal? Truth. What does your wife want? She wants the truth. That's all women want. That's all anyone wants. Like, you don't want it when it doesn't work out for you, which means you sweep things under the rug, bury your head in the sand, then you get fucked up. Life comes up and bites you in the ass. But that's what we all want. We really do want truth. A good man will live his truth. A great man will live a higher truth from what he creates. A legacy is a great man who's living a higher set of truths from what he's created that he now can influence and pass on to those that he loves and cares about. That becomes confidence. Courage, commitment, competence, confidence. It reinforces your belief systems, your identity, who you are. Yes, I can do this. Yes, this is possible. Yes, this is part of me and who I am. So all these people who talk about delusionally optimistic and blah, 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 and be careful not to be overly optimistic and too cautious around optimism. What the fuck does that even mean? You can't be optimistic unless you've got a level of confidence to carry through a higher success. It doesn't mean everything's guaranteed or given in life. Optimism doesn't mean 100% success rate, 100% strike rate. But you have a higher level of confidence in the future outcomes because of your courage, commitment, and competence. Which means, and you can't see me, but I've got two fingers about a foot apart, which means that they go hand in hand. One cannot live without the other. Optimism is one finger. Action is the other. That's what it is. Like, when you're taking action, courage, commitment, competence, confidence, that's going to bring optimism into your life. How can it not? You're fucking winning, man. You're improving your life. You're improving your circumstances. You're developing. You're evolving. So when you're taking action off the back of those four C's to change with the control and certainty that you have in your life, that is developing optimism. If you're optimistic, that's a byproduct of that shit you've been fucking doing that's led you on the path to success. This is what goes on inside of Al's head. I've got roadblocks like you wouldn't believe. I'm not fucking stopping. You can't stop me. I'll never stop or give up. No one comes close to our program. No one. They don't come fucking close. Do you think I'm going to lose the edge because of that? No way, mate. I don't give a fuck about competition. We will not stop. I've got enough to be busy for the next 20 fucking years. What we're doing with the ranches, what we're developing and building out every year. And years go pretty quick anyway. This is what goes on inside of Al's head. Well, I've done it before. I can do it again. I've done it in the gym, I can do it here. It's transferable. Think about that. The resilience you've shown inside of the gym to push that extra set, those extra reps, you can bring that resilience into not being triggered in the household. You can bring that resilience into standing up and romancing and providing for your wife and courting and dating your wife again, even though you might be rejected the first 8 times, time number 9 might be the one. And I'm not talking about sex, I'm talking about her bringing the walls down and you connecting again, or the 19th time, or the 29th time. This is what optimism is. Pessimism, the opposite. Seeing the worst aspect or believing the worst will happen. Being cynical is around people who are motivated with self-interest or being distrustful. Being like if you're cynical, you don't have trust. There's no trust. Distrustful of sincerity. If they're not sincere, I don't trust you. Or integrity. There's not integrity. I don't see any integrity in someone. Pessimism and being cynical. When in your life have you become cynical of yourself? You lost trust in yourself, man. You're going it alone. You're the lone wolf. You failed again and again and again. You no longer believe it's possible. But do you? Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You know deep down that you can improve. You can change. There is an option. There are possibilities. You just need to rewire your outlook to bring to the surface shit that doesn't serve you, cut away, to bring to the surface a level of optimism that is driven off the back of your courage, your commitment, your competence, and your confidence, and developing who you are physically and emotionally, facts and feelings, internally, and then outside in reality. Well, you tell me, I'm not pessimistic. We have 100 applications a week to join HPF. Do you think we bring 100 dads on board? I feel for these men. Maybe now's not the time for them. Maybe they need more time. Ironically enough, maybe they need more pain. Maybe they need a breakdown. I don't know. It's hard. It's sad. I'm addicted to growth. I want to continually chase excellence. When you move out, here's a kicker for you, man. When you move away from that fear of failure, when you move out of the fear of the alternative, the pain, the pit, the regret, when you move away from there, because that's a powerful driver. That made me very successful in sport. But when you move away from there, and it's always sort of prevalent a little bit, like I talk about the pink elephant rule. You focus 10% on what you don't want, 20% on what you do want, so that's double, and then 70% on what you're going to do about it right now. That's more than triple what you desire. So you can see the hierarchy here, the level of importance, a little bit on what we don't want, but that 10% fear of failure, when you get out of that, the 20 and the 70% becomes a love for greatness, and that drives you. So I'm not hungry to grow because my life's in despair or in the pit anymore. No fucking way. It's a love for greatness. When you break through to that other, and no one breaks through alone. No, I'm telling you, man. No, they think they might or do, or they're okay, or the weather, the sun. No. When you break through and you find that love for greatness, it's what we see all the time on the inside with our HPF men. It's fucking amazing. Then you start tapping into your true power. This is what goes on inside our head. Start rewiring your outlook, man. Yes, you can be positive. Yes, understand the state, shift your state, your perspective and how you shift your state is going to shift and influence your choices, your emotions, the real facts, bringing them to surface, the real feelings and reinforcing them with better facts, your position, where you currently stand, what it is that you desire. You don't have to, you get to. That is a gift. Don't fucking waste that gift. Remember one of our members, he's a life member now, Rowan Williams. I remember him saying, you've only got one. Don't waste your turn. And he's talking about life. I was like, wow, it seems so small. Not that your life's small, but it seems so finite and so short-lived when you put those words together. Don't waste your turn. Because you think of a turn like on the merry-go-round or on the Dodgem cars or on the teacups with your kids or a turn on, you know, on the PlayStation or a computer game or a turn in anything. You think of a turn being pretty short, right? Like it's a period of time. You've only got one life. Don't waste your turn. It's very powerful when Rowan said that. I was like, man, it's so true. Don't waste your turn. So when I look at someone who's pessimistic, you tell me what's happening. See the worst aspect or believe the worst will happen. How the fuck is that helping you? What, it's preparing you? I told you so. I told you this would happen. Okay, cool. Now what? How's that improved your life? What, you're more prepared? You're more prepared for more pain? Maybe if you went upstream and focused on something better, you wouldn't fucking put yourself in the position where the pain would be true and you would have avoided it. This is what the law of attraction is. It's not thinking something good or bad will happen. You are literally carving out a pathway of this is the worst thing that will happen. This is the worst outlook on something, and you keep harboring on that, and that will happen. It's raining, you're driving, this rain's really bad, I can't see windwipe, but all of a sudden you're focusing on all the bad shit instead of focusing on, I'm a good driver, I'm solid, I can see here, I'll move the windows, I'll put the air conditioning on so the screen doesn't fog up. Like, you don't even need to think, oh, this is driving, right? But my point is, it can be something so subtle where you are subconsciously, that's why it was important at the start of this, you are subconsciously driving the wrong shit into your makeup, which then energetically, like this is science, vibrations and frequencies, you are putting an energetic output, your wavelengths out there in the world are going to draw in the exact same wavelengths. When you put that vibration out there, you will attract the shit into your life. Like, think about this. Again, people don't look into this enough. Let's take it all away. All right, I'm pessimistic. Oh, HPF is good. Could be better. It's fucking should be heaps better. HPF is fucking horrible. It's not as, you know, we should already be in 20 different countries at this stage and have 500,000. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, because I hate living in that spot. I never do. So I'm trying to really be creative here. But think about that. I'm thinking of the worst aspect. The worst will happen. I believe the worst is going to happen. I'm pessimistic. I'm really pessimistic about, you know, my marriage, about my children. Nothing's fucking good. Nothing's working. It's like, awesome. So now what? Okay, so you're pessimistic. You're seeing the worst and believing the worst will happen. Okay. So what do you do? What will you do if it doesn't happen? Oh, well, it'll happen soon. It's just around the corner. Bad luck always happens to me. Okay. All right, so let's assume it doesn't happen the next time, but it happens the next time. Something bad happens. I fucking told you. I knew it was going to come sooner or later. Bad things come in threes. You know, I thought it was going to come in April, but I got fucking burnt in June. Okay. All right. You've got fucked up. You well done. Well done. You fucking oracle. You visionary. Well done, mate. That's fantastic. You must be happy that you predicted such a poor outcome for yourself, which funnily enough, you created. Now what? Wow. Fucking just is what it is now. My life's even worse. Okay. Now what? I can understand if I want to, but I don't want to. That goes down the slippery slope of being a victim. I just can't fucking get why would you stay in that state? Why would you maintain that outlook? Whereas if you got your fucking shit together, high courage, long commitment, built some confidence, your confidence changes, you start to create an identity shift, optimism becomes a natural byproduct, which means you're frequently and more often than not more positive and more motivated. How can that not change your life? I know some of you out there, whether you're members or not, you have changed your life immediately by adopting some of the key things I've just spoken about. Courage, commitment, competence, confidence. That has completely turned your life around. We've had members come in within the first month, their life's completely turned around because their entire outlook has changed. It's time to start rewiring your outlook, mate. This is your time. This is your journey and this is your life. Don't fucking waste it. Don't waste your life. You've only got one turn. Take this opportunity to recognize that you don't have to, you get to. You don't have to push through the challenge, the adversity, you get to. You don't have to go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, you get to. But what's the opportunity? What's the opportunity cost? Start changing that shit up, go to bed at 10 o'clock. It's hard though, Al, that's the only time I get to myself. Well, fucking create some time during the day. Change, get better at what you do, buy some time back, tell your boss that you need time to have lunch, then go for a walk or do some training. Make yourself more valuable inside of yourself with your workplace or your business. Connect the dots and cut the shit away that's sedating and distracting you and say yes to your family more. You have so much more time than you think. But you don't have to do any of this stuff. You get to. And when you do it with a high level of courage, consistently committed, like you got to commit and take action, building the competence in yourself, who you are as a man, a husband, a father, raising that courage, everything turns around. Everything turns in your favor. And when shit hits the fan, you don't need pessimism. You don't need to worry about predicting and having the glass ball going, I knew this would happen, because it doesn't fucking matter anymore. Why? Because of who you are. You're the fucking man. You stood up. You're strong. You're powerful. You can handle this adversity because you've leveled up yourself. You can't control what's going outside of you all the time. No one can. But when shit does hit the fan inside of your life, you are stronger. You are harder than life. This too has come to pass. I've been here longer than you. I'm facing challenges for 3 months. I've been here for 47 years. I've got more runs on the board than you. Like, you literally create an identity of this adversity and go, I'm going to fuck you up. Why? Because I'm bigger than you. I'm better than you. I'm badder than you. I can handle you like I've handled all the others. Have a look. Have a look over my shoulder and see all the others just like you who came through. And I'm going to do the exact same with you. That's what goes on in Al's head. You can have that as well. Rewiring your outlook. I hope this serves you well. Above all else, I say take action, but immediately, like immediately. Look for the great, move towards the great, and create the great inside of your life, because that's exactly the opportunity that you and me have. Not because we have to, but because we get to. And that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode and got some golden nuggets with possibly one or two aha moments as well. If you truly loved and enjoyed what you listened to, then I want to invite you to share this episode with someone who you know needs to hear this. It could be your brother, friends, colleagues, your uncle, even your wife. If there's one thing I've learned, it's that none of us are alone in the hardships we face. But the solution to getting back on top winning can start with a gift from someone else. And that gift could be an episode like this, because another man transformed is another family saved, which is exactly what we're all about, thriving and winning in life. There is no alternative. It's possible. It has been done. It can be done. So it should be done. I appreciate your support in spreading this message. Cheers, mate.